We're gonna begin the hour by talking sports with Dr. Debbie Strowman, longtime athlete, star athlete in her own right, sports commentator, professor, and an expert on sports analytics, all of the business of sports, both on and off the field. Joining us now on the phone to talk about the relationship between athletes and fans in this case, and the tensions that can arise with those relationships in a lot of cases, including some that we've seen recently just in the last couple of weeks. Debbie Strowman, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm enjoying this beautiful, beautiful summer / fall weather, but something that is really, really disturbing because I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt around being at golf tournaments and knowing how dangerous it is when especially a pro player that's hitting off the tee and everyone has the utmost respect and belief that he or she will indeed hit the ball pretty straight. And if it does veer left or right, it will be at least 150 yards down the pathway before it hits you. Mm-hmm. But most recently at the 42nd Ryder Cup, Brooks Koepka, who is known as a big, big hitter, he hit a line drive, and really, really sad for this fan because she, her right eye socket is fractured, and she's probably going to lose sight in her eye.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that I've noticed on just watching golf tournaments on TV, and fortunately, this is something that does not happen often, but it's incredible that it doesn't happen often, because in a lot of cases, you've got fans that are very, very close to the players. You're giving them only just a little bit of room for error on either side in whatever direction they happen to be hitting the ball. And it's really incredible just the way that a lot of these tournaments are set up, that this doesn't happen more often. And it's not just golf balls flying into groups of fans at golf tournaments. We also see this with baseballs or baseball bats flying into the stands at baseball games, or hockey pucks flying into the stands at hockey matches as well.
That's exactly right. And it really makes you wonder in terms of this game, this sport. It is entertainment, and people are paying lots of money, or people are looking for this opportunity to get away from work or the other stressors. And knowing that you also have a personal responsibility to be careful in how you interact. And just thinking about the game of golf and how weird, or some people would say just overly kind in terms of how you interact. But for example, there is an unwritten rule that if there's a chair out on the golf course, in particular with the Masters, but it is blending into other, extending into other tournaments as well, where you don't touch that chair. As in, someone might have been sitting there for hours watching their favorite golfer, and when that person leaves, maybe to do a restroom run, that you're not supposed to touch it. Another one would be cheering instead of jeering. You're to compliment a golfer's shot, a great tradition in that, but you don't say anything negative about the player and what they did or did not do, because there might be a relative or a close friend within that group. And then the other thing that's kind of strange about golf, which makes fans sometimes act better, we know the power of dress and uniforms, but when you go to a golf tournament, you're only supposed to wear a golf attire. Mm-hmm. So there are all these little things, but in terms of the danger, it's very, very, it makes you just pause and say, how much do I really want to see my favorite golfer off the tee? Because the danger's involved.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, this is not the conversation that we're having, but you mentioned the cheering, no jeering rule, and I haven't been to a golf tournament, and I haven't had the conversation about that, but you're 100% right. I've watched so many golf tournaments on TV, and fans just don't do that, and I've never even thought about it. You just internalize that rule without even realizing it. So you go to a golf tournament and there's only cheering, no jeering, which is something that you would never think at a baseball game where booing is commonplace, or a basketball game where someone shoots an air ball, the entire fans make it a point to let them know about it, whether it's your home team or not. And that's just sort of standard practice there, and it's completely different procedure at if you're a fan of a slightly different sport, the rules are completely different. That's fascinating.
Yes, and that's why some people will say that golf isn't a real sport. Now, we know it's very, very athletic to play the game and certainly to walk the game, but it's one of those things where you're overprotecting the athlete, you know, and tennis similarly. Why can't you screen while a player is hitting? Why can't you, you know, make motions, all these things? Because if you're a really, really good golfer, then you're going to concentrate, you're going to ignore all of that, and you're going to play well regardless. But again, it's just another you know, hit against the game of golf in terms of being real athlete.
Yeah. Speaking with Dr. Debbie Strowman, we're talking about the danger to fans right now at games and sporting events. So what should be done about it? I mean, this thing that happened at the Ryder Cup with the fan getting hit and potentially losing sight is a really, really tragic situation for her in particular, and it's very troubling, and it makes you think. It is rare. It doesn't happen that often, maybe surprisingly so, but it's not very common. So how concerned should we be to the point where we should be doing something, making some rule changes, and then if so, what rule changes should we be making?
Well, there's probably, I would say golf is probably the most ruled, if that's a word, sport out there. It is very, very restrictive in terms of what athletes can and cannot do with the game. In terms of the fan side, though, it's really wide open. Mm-hmm. You buy your ticket and you can go anywhere within the ropes, so to speak. I don't believe that there will be any types of rule changes in terms of fans, but I would say for what we can do as fans is make sure that if you are within the first 100 yards coming off the tee, that you pay attention. You cannot afford to take a drink from your cup and look down. You can't afford to fix your socks. You can't afford to look who's behind you. You have to stay focused as soon as that backswing starts to see the ball come off. There are other folks who believe that it's more important to turn their back when it comes off the tee, so if it hits you, it'll hurt and it'll pop you in the head or in your back or your shoulder, but you won't get it directly in your face. I would also say that if you really aren't familiar with golf, then maybe you should not even be near the tee box when these guys or women hit off the tee. It is just too dangerous because you're not familiar with the speed, the velocity of that ball coming off the tee like that. In terms of the cheering and jeering and all of that, right now it looks like the tradition is going to stay. So you might want to go to football, basketball, or baseball or something where you can let all your emotions out and not have a problem. I will say, though, be careful with certain sports, though, because we do have a history of athletes jumping up in the stands or throwing snowballs and things or actually beating up drunk fans because they just hit them at the wrong moment. Maybe they're distressed over their play or what their coach did or did not do. And so you have to be careful who you talk to because athletes are more bold in the sense that they will approach a fan and say, hey, I'm human too, and there's no need to be ugly towards me, and I'll take it out on you, and I'm willing to pay that $100,000 fine or whatever.
That's a conversation that's going to keep going. We're speaking with Dr. Debbie Strowman, and before we wrap up, I want to shift gears entirely because I know there's an event coming up on Monday that Carolina Public Humanities is putting on at Chapel of the Cross, and you're going to be one of the speakers at that. So I want to give you a chance to promote this. We had James Meeser on a couple of days ago to talk about it, and he's going to be there too, but I know you're going to be there as well to talk about public spaces and collective memories.
Yes, very excited about this conversation. There is no doubt that what is happening and sweeping across America in terms of race and race relations, that there is some negative things. There are some negative things that are happening that are disturbing a lot of people. But I would also speak to the wonderful things that are happening in terms of people coming together and wanting to learn more, wanting to share more. And there, if ever, next to back in the 1800s, if ever there were a time where we need to come back together, now is the time. And I'm very, very happy that Public Humanities continues. They just continue to stay in the forefront of bringing people together and talking about how we can be better and what makes sense. This whole thing around Confederate monuments and symbols and Silent Sam has really, really made UNC catch on fire not only here but across the country, a lot of people are watching us. And I think having this conversation, which is framed not necessarily just about Silent Sam, but it's framed around how we receive information, how we react, how does it feel in terms of being in a position where you are for something or against something. So I'm really, really interested in hearing the other panelists, their perspective. And I've been thinking through in terms of what do I want to say as being an African-American woman living in a predominantly white community, working at a historically white institution. What does that mean to me in terms of memory and space? So it's going to be a very good night, and I'm encouraging, you know, UNC community and the Orange County community to come out.
And again, that's going to be this coming Monday, October 8th, 7 p.m. at Chapel of the Cross. And if you want more info on that, get it online at humanities.unc.edu. Debbie Strowman, thank you so much.
Thank you.